Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. Weak health systems have been blamed for the spread of the Ebola virus in West Africa recently, among other reasons. Observers say, in general, the lack of appropriate infrastructures, medical supply, and qualified personnel have been detrimental to health of citizens in some African countries. In recent decades, global attention to the harrowing state of health in sub-Saharan Africa has increased dramatically. We will discuss this topic on the program today, as we feature one organization that is striving to address the issue. Joining us via phone from Washington, D.C. is Erwin Boateng, president and founder of Quality Health Africa, an organization dedicated to strengthening Africa's health system by building sustainable medical facilities, among other things. Mr. Boateng, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you. Let me remind our listeners, if you would like to participate with questions or comments, you can call 202-619-3111, or always you can post your comments on our Facebook page, .com/AfricaVOAHealthChat. That's our Facebook page. You can also email your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com. So we will have our discussion in a moment with Mr. Boateng. But first, VOA's Henry Ridgewell takes a look at the issue of healthcare system in Africa.
The center is staffed exclusively by Sierra Leonean doctors. That's rare in Sierra Leone's crippled health system, says Martin Drury, director of the charity Health Poverty Action.
The important thing to remember is that whilst an Ebola outbreak is caused biologically, an Ebola epidemic is caused by a rundown, dysfunctional health system.
Drury says underinvestment is to blame, but so is the plundering by Western countries of health workers trained in Africa. A recent report from Health Poverty Action claims that Britain's National Health Service, or NHS, has recruited 10% of all Sierra Leone's trained medical workers.
Even before Ebola, you had just 320 hospital beds in the whole of Sierra Leone. The system was that weak before Ebola. Now it's incredibly weak. And yet, at the same time, people like me in the UK are being treated by doctors and health workers whose training was paid for by Sierra Leone. And that's just wrong.
In a statement, Britain's Department of Health said that healthcare professionals often want to spend time working in different healthcare systems to gain experience and skills. Martin Drury says there is a compromise.
We don't want to stop people migrating at all, but if health workers from the poorest countries are coming to subsidise the health system of the richest countries, we should pay some compensation back into their health system to make up for that.
Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Mr. Boateng, again, thank you so much for joining us. Now, the report we heard was essentially talking about the fact that health workers were going to other countries, you know, leading us to the issue of brain drain by a medical worker. What is your reaction to this, given that it's such an important part of the health system of a country?
Well, once again, thank you very much for having me. When it comes to this particular issue, I always say there are different angles that can be looked at. When you look at the healthcare workers in Africa, the reason why most of them are taking job opportunities in the West is because they lack incentives. Yes, it's great to be passionate about your field that you're in, but these nurses and doctors are also looking at the fact that they also need to make a good living to be able to take care of their families. So when they get the job offer that pays them more money and give them the ability to properly care for their families, they jump on those opportunities. And that's why my organization is focused on building relationships and policies in African countries that will create more incentives for the healthcare workers, because it is a lot of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you do realize that if Africa is going to be elevated to the level that we dream of, then it's going to take a collaborative effort from each and every one of us, which means the healthcare providers and the healthcare workers need to keep their talent and their gifts and their experiences in Africa. And those of us in the diaspora also need to take our experiences back to help That is the only way we can improve the health system in that aspect.
And when you talk about incentives specifically, which is something that you mentioned your organization is also focusing on, what type of incentives are we looking at? And who or where should that these incentives come from?
Okay, so let me give you a typical example. Right now, my organization is focused on building a state-of-the-art medical facility in the eastern part of Ghana. Mm-hmm. And that through partnership with the local communities and the government, we were able to acquire the land. And there's a clinic in that town. And when you look at that clinic, one, they lack medical supplies. They lack medical equipment. And the most important thing is the lodging and the housing for the nurses are very, very poor. So if you have a nurse that has gone to nursing school, got loans probably, and you're telling them to go to this village where there's no electricity, there's no clean water for their family, they don't have good schools for his or her family, then this nurse is going to be reluctant to relocate to that area. So when I say incentives, I mean when they build the medical facilities, make sure they have, one, if the nurse has the required medical equipment and supplies, they can effectively do their job. Number two, if they have incentives such as amenities, you know, housing, schools, clean water in the community, then the nurses are more inclined to want to go there. And if you put all this together, it's basically us developing and building strong communities. So that's what I mean by incentive. The nurses do not want to go to school with all this experience and loans and then get to work in a hospital that lacks almost everything that will make their job more efficient.
Absolutely. And you mentioned amenities, which sometimes seems to be overlooked when we talk about, hiring these medical professionals. As you mentioned, you send someone in the very rural area of the country. What do they have there that can really help them have a decent livelihood as well as their families?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, And that's the biggest thing. You know, I interviewed a few nurses. Every year we go to Ghana. We had a health fair. We donate several medical supplies and equipment to hospitals all around the country. And this past April, we were there for a major health fair where we donated about $50,000 worth of medical supplies. And you realize that this particular hospital that we went to did not even have medications. The nurses did not even have the proper equipment. The nurse practitioner had to basically buy certain things out of her pocket. And not everybody is going to have that passion or that ability financially to be able to buy medical supplies out of pocket to treat patients. So that's something that the government needs to pay a close attention to. If we want to grow a healthier community, then we have to provide the accessories needed for that to happen.
Absolutely. Now we have a caller from Ghana, Felix. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Felix. Thanks for joining us. What is your question, please?
Yes, I wanted to know that in Ghana here we have the National Health Insurance Policy, you know. So that also anything to do with having to contribute towards a program of yours like mine.
Okay, could you repeat the question? I had some difficulties, unless Mr. Boateng heard. But please repeat the question so I can understand better what you said.
No, I'm rather waiting for you to ask any question than that I can answer you.
Is this Felix from Ghana?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a question?
Yes. It's to do with our National Health Insurance Scheme, you know. In Ghana here, we have something like this, but it looks like there's some flaws. You know, there are one or two flaws that are going on. If there are any direct health problems associated with our society, there are a class of people who come below the belt of our economics. They are not able to fit into society. They don't benefit from the national health insurance.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, Mr. Boateng, I think if I understand correctly, Felix's concern is about the National Health Insurance, where he says that some people don't really benefit from it. What is your take on that? Do you have any knowledge on this issue? And perhaps is some of your work trying to counter that?
Well, thank you very much, Felix. I'm calling from Ghana. One of the biggest issues with specifically the National Health Insurance in Ghana is that it's more like a liability insurance where it only covers over-the-counter medication. Actually, this Sunday, myself and my team are going to Ghana. We're having a summit, a health summit at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, and this is one of the key discussions that the panel is going to talk about. The health insurance does not cover full health care expenses. It only covers over-the-counter medications. So the issue that people run into is that the medications are to be bought from private pharmacies. Most of the hospitals do not have large pharmacy dispensaries. And it has a reimbursement program where the government pays the pharmacy after they have issued the medication to the patient. But there's been so much issue with the pharmacies not being paid by the government, so the pharmacies are no longer giving out medications to the citizens. So healthcare insurance policy review is one of the topics that we're going to discuss in Ghana during our summit, December 19th, at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. It's an ongoing problem, but we are willing to work with the government of Ghana, the health ministry, to look at alternative ways to actually make the insurance policy or the national health insurance, which is supposed to be free, more effective. Because as of now, it's not as effective as it needs to be, but there's a lot of room for growth. And we've been looking at that angle as well.
Okay, that's a good point you're making, and we hope to have someone from the Ministry of Health or from the government to get their perspective on the issue, because right. Indeed, national health insurance is something that a lot of people rely on, and if it doesn't really meet the needs of the people, then it's problematic, and I think that it's not just an issue to discuss with regards to Ghana specifically. Other countries also are raising up the issue in terms of the reliability and efficiency of their national health insurance. And again, we will try to get someone from the government to really go in depth on this issue of national health insurance. And we look forward to more on to a follow-up of from your conference in Ghana and perhaps some of the steps that are being put in place to address this issue. So we appreciate, Felix, we appreciate this very, very important question. So now coming back to your organization, first of all, tell us a little bit about how it all started and what motivated you to even put this in place.
Oh, man. Okay, thank you. Quality Health Africa really comes from a very personal place. In 2010, I went on a deployment to Afghanistan. I am also active duty United States Marine. In the U.S. Military. So I went to a deployment, and then while I was on deployment, I lost my aunt to breast cancer in Ghana. Now, I have never really paid attention to the healthcare system in Ghana until I actually lost my aunt. I went back, you know, trying to find out how she died, what happened. And then you realize that there are so many gaps, you know, in the healthcare system. There were so many unanswered questions. So I took it upon myself to really do a bit research in the overall healthcare infrastructure in Ghana. And then I realized there is a huge deficiency and there's a huge need for a strengthened health system. Mm-hmm. So I went a step further by looking at the overall healthcare system in several African countries, and you realize there is a trend of a vulnerable healthcare system. So I came up with the organization Quality Health Africa. And then it's been so great that I've had a lot of passionate doctors, nurses, and interns, volunteers that have come on board to really help build an organization that focuses on building a sustainable healthcare system in Africa, an organization built by Africans for Africa. The focus is directly on the healthcare system infrastructure in Africa. And that ranges from so many different aspects. Our primary goal is to build medical facilities, sustainable ones, in all African countries. Now, when you look at the rich people in Africa, when their families are sick, they fly them to Germany, to Europe, to America to seek treatment. We want to build a medical facility that allows, that provides such quality that a rich person will feel comfortable in treating their family in that hospital right in Africa, so that we can keep the money, the resources, and the quality of care in Africa. And also have a subsidy program that allows people in underprivileged communities the same opportunity to be able to afford treatment by that quality system.
Very good. It's very commendable what you are doing. And we appreciate this type of effort, especially given that it's an organization. As I was looking it up on the website, a lot of young people are involved, and you're pretty young yourself. So it's really to encourage, and we appreciate your work and your efforts for the continent, the country where you're working in. So Mr. Boateng, we're going to take a very short break and come back to continue this discussion. So don't go away. Stay with us.
Sure.
Listeners, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Health Chat, and today we are discussing health systems in Africa, what is being done, what are the issues, and looking at one organization that is working to address some of these issues. The organization is Quality Health Africa, and we are very pleased to have with us the president and founder of Quality Health Africa, who is Erwin Boateng, a native from Ghana, and now a Ghanaian in the diaspora, and the organization is dedicated to strengthening Africa's health system by building sustainable medical facilities, as Mr. Boateng mentioned before the break, and other things as well that you are doing, Mr. Boateng. So tell us about some other issues some other areas of your work through this organization.
So, like I said, Quality Health Africa is really here to represent the health organization that really revolutionizes Africa's health system. Part of some of our programs that we have, we have Diabetes Awareness and Prevention Initiative, and every year we have assigned physicians and volunteers that hold several programs in Africa to increase awareness on diabetes and prevention. We have HIV/AIDS prevention awareness, which is actually functional both in Africa and America. We also focus on the African population in the diaspora. Right now, we're also working on a clean water project, which will focus on providing clean water to communities all around Africa. And we're really trying to tap into other African countries. So this is a platform to really say that if you are interested in strengthening Africa's health system, you have any ideas and programs, we're definitely willing to work with everybody from the different parts of the world. So there are so many programs, Diabetes Initiative, HIV. We have a sickle cell initiative that focuses on sickle cell awareness. And one of our newest initiatives is a mental health awareness initiative. You realize that mental health is one field in Africa that is really, really forgotten about and needs a lot of attention. So we're really looking at the overall health system infrastructure, including even pharmaceuticals, getting the right medications to Africa. You go to Africa and you go to a pharmacy and you see medication in Arabic, but nobody in Africa writes in Arabic. We can't even write or read the instructions. So we're also focusing on getting the right policy to ensure that accurate medications are brought into the continent.
Okay. So some people, of course, you have North Africa where people speak Arabic, and some people also, but understanding very much the point about instructions in Arabic without having either English or French or Portuguese, it must be challenging in a setting like sub-Saharan Africa. Now, let's talk about what will an ideal healthcare system look like?
An ideal healthcare system in Africa would be a situation where we have state-of-the-art medical facilities comparable to, let's say, the Johns Hopkins, the George Washington University hospitals, hospitals that are so enhanced that can treat and detect any disease that can actually be detected in the West. And healthcare that is accessible to all parts of Africa, especially in the rural areas. So when we are able to bring healthcare to all parts of Africa, sustainable healthcare, then you realize that we have the ability to really detect and treat diseases before they get out of hand. Ebola is one of the prime examples. And I always tell people Ebola is the least of Africa's problems. There are several non-communicable diseases taking lives each and every day. Mm-hmm. And it's because of lack of awareness and lack of access to quality health care. So if we are able to strengthen the healthcare system from the grassroots in the communities, then we have the ability to detect certain diseases or symptoms and prevent them from spreading. Ebola had a fever-like symptom. So it was very difficult to detect or determine that it was not just a common fever if you didn't have laboratories. Yes. And a lot of people thought it was just a fever until it started spreading. And then awareness. You realize that most people did not know how to even take care of an Ebola patient. Mm-hmm. However, we had remote assistance from the West. But after Ebola, how many medical facilities are actually left in place to continue research and treatment? It was all remote sites that were taken down, broken down. We want to be able to build medical facilities that are for the African people where they can get quality health care services at all times at an affordable cost as well.
But is it a little bit idealistic to think that we can attain that, although we have to have goals, otherwise we will never do anything. But when you look at this current situation right now, what will it take? Your organization, it is doing great at giving your mission and what you're trying to do, but you are a small organization, growing, I hope that you grow and grow and grow. But if we look at the kind of impact you're making, given the kind of needs and issues and the extent of the problem, to what extent are we going to need the everyone to get involved? And what is the role of local government? What is the role of people like you, diaspora, and even international communities? What do you think? How do we make this happen, really, once and for all?
I think you just asked a million-dollar question that I talk about every time. Really, in order to build a strong healthcare system, it's going to take a collaborative effort from civil society organizations, private sector, government agencies, and the diaspora with continental Africans. We have to come together. Now, with an organization like Quality Health Africa, what we are focusing on is engaging the local communities and the government to build a healthcare infrastructure and system that is acceptable and fit to the community itself. So, for example, the program we're building in the eastern part of Ghana may not be conducive to even the northern part of Ghana because they're exposed to different environments, different conditions, different situations. So the communities have to come together and realize the need to really build healthcare infrastructure that fits that community or even country if you want to look at other countries. That is why we have been working with other nonprofit organizations in different countries to really come up with a way to build a healthcare system that fits that specific environment. And that is why I don't believe in nonprofits that go to Africa and build their infrastructure and implement it there, because it may not fit the community. Community involvement is key to a successful health system. When we have our health programs or the hospital we are building, we're incorporating intensive training for the healthcare workers in Africa with a 5-year plan for them to actually take over the system or the medical facility that has been built in place, because that allows them the ability to effectively communicate with the community and know the community's needs and provide it to them.
Now, one of the issues that was that came up with in light of the Ebola outbreak was the some of the cultural practices that were impacting the fight against this virus. When you look at, for example, traditional burials, the way it is done in some community, that was one of the ways that the virus spread. How do you think this aspect of our lives as Africans, because we have cultures, we have traditions mm-hmm. that we cannot, that are still there, you know, even if you do not practice it, somebody will, and yes. somebody does. So as we try to address this problem of infrastructure and other aspect of health systems, when culture comes into play and tradition comes into play, for example, someone gets sick, instead of going to the beautiful and well-equipped facility that Quality Health Africa has built, he will run to his local doctor. I don't want to say juju doctor, but that's how we call them, you know. So what do you do about that? How do I address okay. that?
And, you know, we this question actually came up. We had a summit in U.S. Congress just this past October, and this was one of the biggest questions and discussions we had. Now, when it comes to this, our intention is to involve the community. And when I say the community, I mean the herbalists as well. Now, one way or the other, the herbalists have found certain formulas in herbs that work. It works for certain people. It works for certain diseases. So we are trying to start a clinical research on herbs that will allow us to figure out the content in the herbs that, one, are working to treat certain diseases, and, two, the ones that are not working. If we're able to conduct enough research into herbs, then the herbalist can be directly involved in the healthcare chain, because mm-hmm. we don't want to ignore and get rid of them as well, because they also have herbs that work. I know of some herbalists that can heal certain diseases, but not all. Mm-hmm. But it's not consistent based on the person's you don't know what the person's allergic to, their blood type, what their body needs or not. So it's going to take a lot of clinical trials, which is part of a program that we are going to implement once our hospital is built, to really start researching to herbs to get the herbalist involved in the process, so that their herbs can also be monitored for them to provide the right dose of medications. Look, if we have herbalists that can produce herbs that work, then... And if those herbs are approved by FDA, or they're able to be researched enough to become usable by the public, then guess what? We get rid of importing medications that cost us so many amounts of dollars. Mm-hmm. So we are looking at all areas possible that will make it cheaper, convenient, and quality services for the African continent.
Okay, let me just say that traditional medicine has been acknowledged by WHO and is being regulated, and it's a practice that is commended by many in addition to modern medicine. So it's not bashing our traditional medicine. It's just a comment about those who are doing certain things that are not regulated and everything. But on this note, Mr. Boateng, I have to say thank you, because we're running out of time. We appreciate your time and insight on this issue. It was so nice to have you today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And our guest was Erwin Boateng, president and founder of Quality Health Africa. I thank all of you for joining us. Thanks to all our affiliates throughout Africa. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Bunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.